Well, let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, we thank you for your precious word. And Lord, it's a light unto our path. It's the only truth that we can grapple with today. And Lord, I'm so grateful you're in charge and you know what's happening. And you have a plan and a purpose for every pain and every situation we go through, that you are performing your will in our lives. You have amazing ways of getting our attention, and we just give you much praise. But now, Lord, we're looking into your word, and we pray that you might be our teacher and our guide, and we'll simply give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you remember the Costa Concordia? I'm sure none of you do. It sank January 13th, 2012. It capsized at, oh boy, I'm going to kill this, at Isola del Giglio, Tuscany. And if you remember, the captain of the ship was drunk, and he was showing off for his girlfriend. How many people were on board that cruise ship? 4,252 people, and 32 people died. His name was Captain Francesco Chitinto, something like that. He was sentenced to 16 years in prison. Now, see, this is where I would just drop the the rope on him or something and keep him there for the rest of his life. But it's interesting, showing off for his girlfriend. And you never know. I was thinking about it because it cost over $1 billion for them to finally raise that cruise ship and get it out of the way. A sad thing. There's so many people on board. Oh, my goodness. And then it reminded me of my friend who, every time she went on a cruise, something terrible happened. And she's now with the Lord, but I remember the first one, the cruise line went bankrupt, so they wouldn't let them into shore. And so they had to take little boats in all the time to get any place. And then there was another time she went, and they had a big fire on board, and they had to get everybody off. And it seemed like every time Mickey went on a cruise, something happened. So I made sure I never went on a cruise with her. So why do I bring that up? Well, I was thinking, this is how my mind works, that if I was on a cruise ship and there was an island not too far away and only the strong swimmers could go, and the Lord would say to you, you can take one book out of this Bible with you, otherwise you won't have enough strength to make it to the island, which book would you take? Now, I know how important Genesis is. In fact, I learned a lot about that this summer, and we're going to be looking at it maybe several times during the year of what condition the church is in. We've got a lot of work to do, and we just got to start thinking very seriously about the word. But so I thought, if I only have one book and one way to make it, that Romans would be enough. Romans is such a fabulous book. And we remember last year we studied Acts. Remember who wrote Acts? No, you don't have to have an exam. Luke wrote it. And he wrote it around AD 63. We know that Paul was martyred in AD 68. Now we're going back in time to pick up Romans. And it's believed that he wrote this between 56 and 58. I keep wanting to put a 19 in front of those, but it's 56 and 58 AD while he was at Corinth. And remember, Corinth was kind of the San Francisco of the area, where they had, on top of this mountain there, they had this temple full of prostitutes for those coming on land. And if you change from one C to the next C, they didn't have an isthmus. They do today. And but they would get these slaves to carry their ships actually over the land and on to the next. And of course, while they were doing that, they busied themselves worshiping in the temple with the prostitutes. So that's where Paul is writing this wonderful book. I think it's one of the greatest and influential of all of Paul's epistles. And I was really glad that you chose this last, whenever it was we were last together. I thought, oh yeah, Romans is so great. And it's probably the most powerful human document ever written. So as you and I get into it, just the Lord will speak to all of us, I know, in some special way. It gives us the meaning of the cross. It gives us the meaning of Christianity. It points out the errors of Romanism. It protects us from modern cults. And cults are coming up right and left. And how do you know the difference? Well, if you've got your roots into Romans, you'll be a lot stronger. Salvation is by faith and faith alone, through grace. It's nothing we do. It's nothing we earn. Boy, I'd be the least saved if it was something we earned. But it's simply responding to the Holy Spirit working in you. Now, I didn't know that at the time. It seemed like it was a big effort. God is so good. And if you get a handle on Romans, you've got it. And you might want to make that your goal this year, is to kind of have a grasp of it. Now, I've put in an outline. I don't know if we're going to get that or not. Okay, Julie? Maybe. And you look at that and you say, oh, I don't want any part of this. I can't even pronounce some of those words. So, this was the shortest outline I could find. And you say, well, I don't know what it means to be justified. I don't know what it means. What does righteousness mean? What do these words mean? Well, guess what? Your first lesson has those questions in it. Oh, how mean of me. I know. But you can have them on a slip of paper in your Bible. And when your pastor or a friend talks about justification or sanctification, you'll have an understanding of what they mean. Now, everything you and I do, if you're an oil painter and you do that as a hobby, it has its own vocabulary. Or if you crochet, you have your own vocabulary. Almost everything does. And Paul uses these words all the time. And he expects us to understand them and to know them. And what happens is with most of us, we kind of read through them or read over them. But they're not those great big words. And I'm not being mean. Yes. I'm being mean to give them to you. But he gets right to it. He has 17 verses of introduction. That's the most he uses any place. But why would he take 17 verses? You know, ask yourself these questions as you're reading it. And then sin. Boy, he jumps right into sin. And it's really contrary to where our country is thinking right now and doing. And then into salvation. And there's three aspects of salvation. And one is illustrated by Abraham, another by Adam. And then on into sanctification, and that's righteousness defended. That's chapters 6 through 8. I remember just opening the Bible. I remember the first time I got into Romans, and I was so happy to get to Romans 8 because all the other chapters made me feel guilty. In Romans 8, there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. And then, of course, sovereignty and righteousness was declined by Israel. What's happening with Israel? Why is it so important? Why would God use Paul and write three chapters on Israel? so important to get that in your understanding. And then it goes on with service demonstrated, and then there's a conclusion. And don't forget, too, that in Romans we have the Roman road. We'll be looking at that. That might be best to memorize that. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Isn't that, it's just simple. All have sinned. So don't look at anybody else and think, well, she doesn't know what life's all about, you know. Praise God, she doesn't know what life's all about. That's wonderful. It's when you realize everybody's in the same boat, it really helps. And then over into Romans 5:1, therefore having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And of course, the one I like so well is over in Romans 10, and it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Don't complicate it. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. That's a Roman road. It's well to put that to memory. Don't worry about having a an outline of. But if you don't know what's in the book of Romans, try to go through it and get a grasp of it. Because if you're not able to think through the book without the Bible open before you, then you see, this is a good goal for you to figure out, oh, what are the first chapters about? What is this about? And I don't understand righteousness. What does righteousness mean? And those are the things that we'll cover. And for some of you, that's just old hat. But for some of you, that's brand new. Or for some of you, you just never quite ever got a definition. So as mean and ugly as I am with that first lesson, it's the hardest. Or longest. Not the hardest. But and if you can't get your answers, don't worry about it. God gives us a little bit at a time. A little here, and then we add to it and get more. You know, Jesus laid aside his deity and came as a man filled with God. And it was masked by his humanity. But his deity was demonstrated through all the miracles that he did. I was thinking last night, well, if I should ever live long enough, maybe we should do the life of Christ again. And I so enjoyed going through that. I read the Bible through, and I'm reading in a translation now that's in time sequence. And it was so good to get to what the Lord is doing. They can't even wait to open it and to read it. We need to know more and more about our Lord and less about what's happening in the world. But his miracles came by the Spirit of holiness, and it all rests on his resurrection. Everything rests on his resurrection. So, of course, that is where the modern man really attacks, is the resurrection. I find today that so many of us Christians are settling for half a salvation. You say, what? Well, because we find it fairly easy to accept the Lord, that he went to the cross and died for my sins, and his blood forgave me of my sins, and we rejoice over this fact. But and we often find ourselves content just to live on in our sins. I ask myself the question, you know, how do I demonstrate the Lord to others? Well, I didn't used to do very well driving. But the Lord's worked with me on that, and we're doing much better now. And but see how easy it is to fall back into old habits. And Romans is going to help us get rid of those old habits and move on. And, it's not enough just to live in the light of the death of Christ on Calvary and stop there. We need to get some victory in our lives. Again, ask yourself, how am I demonstrating the Lord to my husband? How am I demonstrating the Lord to my children? Is it hysterical a few times? Yes. And, when you have six kids, they keep you humble most of the time. They'll remind you that you're not very spiritual. Well, you know that if you even have one. So, but the Lord wants to reproduce his life in us. And that's so often we're doing this to him. And that's called sanctification. He wants to make us holy. And I told him when I first came to the Lord, I said, holy? Oh, Lord, find somebody else. I'll never be holy. So, but he's still working on me. And I guess as long as I'm here, he's going to be working on me. But, anyway, Romans is great. And let's match up some things that famous people have been affected by the book of Romans. There was Augustine, was affected by Romans 13. And I thought, I wonder what verse spoke to him. I was pretty easy. I was in John, and mine was 10:30. But for Augustine, I don't know. It says, first section of 13 talks about submitting to the government. Of course, I do that all the time. Or loving your neighbor. Oh, or putting on Christ. See, those are things that affected Augustine. I guess he was quite a liver. He was quite a drinker. And his mother never stopped praying for him. And he came to Christ after his mother died, as I remember. And then, there was Martin Luther. And what was he changed by? He was changed by Romans 1:16, which says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." That means the Gentile, and we're all Gentiles, so for us. "For in it is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." The just shall live by faith. It's not ritual. It's not, you could go to church every Sunday, or you could ritually read your Bible, but unless you have a relationship with him, you're missing it. John Wesley was one of 22. I used to think six kids were a lot till I would read about his mother having 22. And when she wanted to pray during the day, when her kids probably drove her crazy, she would take her apron and put it over her head, and her family all knew she was praying. And you know what turned him around was Martin Luther's preface to Romans. He heard that. And then, of course, there's John Bunyan, and he wrote Pilgrim's Progress from prison based on the book of Romans. So a lot of people have been influenced by the book of Romans, and I hope that's going to happen for you too. And for myself, I need fresh stab at my hard heart to get things rolling again. But Jesus' character, he wants to work it in us. And that's where we often struggle. And we keep going on in the principle of sin. But at the cross, we have forgiveness for what we've done, and in order that we might stop doing it. I have to remind myself, oh yeah, I'm not supposed to do that anymore. But it's his risen life in us, indwelling us by the Son of God, as we have deliverance from what we are, that we become like him. Don't you want to become like him? Just even think about the Christians that you know right now, the ones that really love the Lord. What is it about their lives? what are they doing? Do they make you hungry for what they have? Do I make my family hungry for what I have? You know, it's things to think about. So often people turn away. They love our Christ, but they turn away from Christians and because of the way they live. I heard it the other day, oh, isn't he a wonderful pastor? And everybody said, oh yeah, he's a wonderful pastor. I wonder what he's like to his wife at home. You know, it's very sobering to think about. So we believers need to look and want to change to be like him, and he will give us the power to do it. I remember when I first was dragged to that Bible study, and they kept saying, well, you're to love the Lord your God with your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole soul. And I says, what is he? He's egotistical? He wants everybody to love him? You see how far away I was from the Lord? He even gives us the ability to love him. And I hope you tell him that every day. And you say, well, my circumstances are really bad. I have all these illnesses, and my husband has left me, and da-da-da. Well, so often we're just so caught up with the world and caught up with our problems, and we've left God out of it and wonder why our lives get so messed up. But God has his ways of getting it to our attention. I know I was flat on my back a year ago. There's only one way you can look when you're flat on your back. So I would encourage you, don't wait till the Lord puts you flat on your back so that he gets your attention. But you know, that's just the genius of redemption. He's working in us to have us become like him. And I think that's so exciting. And we're going to learn a lot through this. And you may not agree with it. I don't agree with some of it. Of course, then I'm guilty. But we'll learn together. And as I say, this first lesson is kind of a bear because it deals with definitions. But don't give up. And find a friend that you can call and get some help on it if you need it. I guarantee the rest of them won't be this like this. Won't be a piece of cake either. What you have in questions are what goes through my mind. There's the problem right there. And but I hope you have a good time, and I hope as a group you have a good time together and sharing the things that God gives you. Those are precious gifts. And we don't have anything else. Have you ever thought about that? We really don't. And so often we're looking to a person or to a pastor or to a church, and when you get right down to it, you have the Lord. Get to know him. Eternity is a long stretch, and I want to go into heaven knowing him. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, we're opening this book, this amazing book that Paul penned for us with so many truths in it, Lord. Things that we don't like to hear, things that are contrary to laws that are being passed in our country, things that that we do wrong. And start with me, Lord. Work in my heart to help me to become more like the way you want me to become. And I pray for each lady here that if anyone's come here today with a heavy load, that they might give that to you at the cross. They might wait upon you to see what you're going to do, that they might reach out to others for help. Lord, we're most needy. Help us to let go of that pride that we have that need. And the need is really to know you. What a perfect need that is. So help us this week, Lord, as we get into the lesson to learn things and to be encouraged by your word. Bless each woman, Lord, in their situation, their home, their illnesses. Help it to be not a burden, but stairs to you, Lord, to know you even better. And we'll simply give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.